Let's take our Romans, the book of Romans. We're in chapter 15 again. Let's see, 14, rather, 14. Those who are listening to us, try to give us a call. Call us at 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email questions@bfcbc.org. Questions@bfcbc.org. Romans chapter 14. Last time we stopped at verse 17, so we'll begin with verse 18. 14 and verse 18, 19, and 20. Let's read those three verses together. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. Romans 14, 20. As I announced previously.
I know, but I...
For meat destroy not the words of God, for all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. 1 Corinthians, we're in Romans chapter 14, and beginning of verse 18. All right. 14, 18.
Mm-hmm.
He that in these things... Who's the he referring to here? Who's the he referring to? For believers in Rome and by application to Christian believers today. So he that in these things, what things is he referring to there? Said before, probably in verse 17, not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are the things that he's talking about. And so in these things, serveth Christ. Service means what? Pardon me? Render services. You know where we are, Edith? Romans 14 and verse 18. What does it mean? How do believers, genuine Christians, serve Christ? How do you go about it?
Yes. To be obedient to his word, which means loving others.
Mm-hmm.
As Christ has loved us,
right.
Loving our
enemy. That's right. So obedience.
Doing works unto him.
All right. All things unto him.
Yeah.
All right. That's obedience. And serving the Lord. He that serveth the Lord. Notice it says serving Christ. What's the difference between serving men and serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Was that during the will of God? Can the unbelievers serve Christ? No, they don't know how to serve the Lord. The only ones that are genuine Christians can serve Christ. You have something after that?
No. Oh. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Like
no.
That meaning, like, yeah, only the...
Yeah, that's good. So now, those in these things that serve Christ, regardless of whether you're in trouble or difficult or anything else, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it says it's acceptable to God. What does acceptable mean?
Pleasing.
Pleasing. All right. It's agreeable, and God accepts and receives our service. Now, if we're not serving Christ, does God promise to receive that service? It doesn't say it's acceptable, does it? Do some people serve themselves? Some people serve their families, serve their country. Now, sometimes we serve, this service is spiritual service, isn't it? We serve people regularly, help people to live and to do what they can. But this is serving Christ, acceptable to God. And then it says approved of men. Now, what's the difference? Acceptable to God and approved of men. What's the difference? Is there a difference? Tammy? Okay. Now let me ask you this. When you serve God acceptably, is it always pleasing man?
No. Sometimes even unbelievers, they if you do some kind of a good work, they recognize that.
Sometimes they do.
It is a good work.
That's right.
They might not even know God.
And sometimes they don't. Under what conditions, when they please God, does the world and unbelievers hate us? Under what conditions? Give me some examples of pleasing God. Bill.
When you mention Jesus Christ.
In swearing?
No.
They mention Jesus Christ.
We swear.
They Jesus Christ. Why do they say Jesus Christ in swearing and blasphemy when they don't even believe in him?
Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we mention the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the world many times don't talk about that. What other things might suggest that Bill the second? Will.
Sin.
When you call sin sin, like gay marriage. When you call sin sin, the world hates us. They burned out our churches for it. See? Terrible. Lost?
Yeah.
Okay. They'll come to you. other things. In other words, when we preach the Bible, God, the gospel, and we do that which is pleasing the Lord, many times people are not pleasing to us at all. They want other types of things. Also, what if you stand for the King James Bible? Does the world love that? Well, no, very few people stand still with us. Some do, but a lot of them despise it. Fanny?
Some people that are faithful use the King James Bible, but then the people that are Christian, they'll go and say, go with the modern version.
Yes. That's right. Even the non-Christians can't use the King James, but the others. So, we've got to have these two things. Now, if you had to choose between two, pleasing God or pleasing man, which should you choose?
Pleasing God.
That's very important. Acceptable to God and approved to God, approved to men. Acceptable and approved. Then in verse number 19, let us, who's the us referred to there?
True believers,
true Christians. Therefore, why is it therefore? Let us, therefore. For this reason, because we've just talked about it, because we've talked about it in the first preceding verse, therefore, follow after things that make for peace. Follow means what? Was it?
Dude,
I couldn't hear, was it?
Pursue,
that's right. Do these things and follow these things, pursue these things, act about these things, different things. So we're following things which make for peace. So how would you define peace? What is it?
Opposite of war.
No fighting, no bittering, no struggling. What is it? Peace and tranquility, that's right.
Peace is the cessation of conflict.
Cessation of conflict, that's right. Now, in Russian, Khrushchev, I believe it was, years ago, used the Russian word and said, I am for peace. But that word for peace, whether it's mir, I think it's mir, but I'm not sure.
M-I-R.
Yeah, and that same thing in Russian also means something else.
I don't know Russian.
It means war. Yeah, it's a war. So it depends on how you use the spelling and the pronunciation.
Innocent world.
Oh, I want the world. Okay, that's the world. Thank you, Anna. So, in other words, it means peace, but also it means the world. So when he says he wants peace, if you interpret the other way, the other meaning, he wants the whole world. He wants to take over the whole world. Anyway, but that's fine.
He says with the peace of
Well, that's what the communist. That's what the communist said. Was that Lenin? Was it Stalin? I don't remember which Russian. Khrushchev. Was it Khrushchev? Promises and treaties are made by pie crust, made to be broken. That's what he said. Yes. Eating their own words. That's good. Promises. That's eating their own words. Yes, good.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Is that an immediate quick peace or is that a permanent peace?
Well, probably both. Temporary and permanent. Things that make for peace. We know that, let's say Romans 5:1 together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When does that peace come to the person that accepts the Lord Jesus? Immediately upon being saved. So that's a current peace. John, and then back to Jonathan.
I think from my reading the history, I believe that Nikita Khrushchev, he probably was the anti-Christian evil leader Russia ever had, because here when he became this Russian leader, persecution of Christians is even worse under him than it was under Stalin.
That's interesting. Yeah, Jonathan.
I guess what I'm trying to get at, follow after the things which make for peace, is that the kind of peace like the Muslims say, okay, we don't want you to draw these cards. Oh, okay, we won't draw the cartoons. And we don't want you to wear flowery clothes. That's an offensive. Okay, we won't wear flowery clothes. And just all the things to say, and we don't want you to say anything bad about Mohammed. You can't preach anything.
And if we follow that rule, then what do we call that? What do Christians call that if we follow all that they say?
Sharia law.
Well, say it like that. What is it?
Submission.
Compromise and submission. That's right. Compromise.
But is that real peace? Is that true peace or is that a false peace?
Well, that's a false peace. Now, you see, once you follow Sharia law, once you say that bestiality is all right, once you say sex with animals, once you say pedophilia is all right, you have sex with little children, once you follow Sharia law, there's no end to it. Once you say women can't vote, women can't drive a car, women can't separate from their husband, walk out in the street alone, you're in trouble. But if you let any of that go, whether it's just drawing the picture of Muhammad or anything else, you let one single thing tells us we can't have the First Amendment, religious liberty, and preaching the Bible, all the truth of Scripture, we're in serious trouble. We're in trouble right now because Obama says, throw out the First Amendment. He's going to crack down on religious liberty, freedom of speech, the whole thing. We're in serious trouble. So we shouldn't give in to the Muslims. And July
20th, we're not going to have peace.
That's right. But the only thing the Muslims and the terrorists want, when they kill and behead and hang all the Christians and the people they're opposing, that's their kind of peace. But that's not our kind of peace. When the Lord Jesus rules in Jerusalem and the millennial reign of Christ, how many years will he rule?
1,000 years.
What kind of situation will be there? Peace. What's one of the names of the Lord Jesus? The Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So these are very important things. And
that's because he's
going to
rule with a rod of iron.
Rule with a rod of iron.
He can't do anything.
He's going to be enforcing the thing. But after the devil ground is. Remember, where was the devil in the 1,000 years? Where is he? He's chained. He's chained and bound for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, what happens to the devil? He's loose. He's loose first. First he's loose. And after he's loose, what does he do? Rebellion? Where is he going to end rebellion?
In Israel.
That's right. Why is he going to Israel? Who's reigning in Israel? The Lord Jesus Christ. So he's going to lead up all these people. Now, during the millennium, they had to do right and act right and everything else because he's ruling with a rod of iron. But their hearts, many of them are lost and bound for hell. When the devil comes, they'll follow the devil. What's the Lord Jesus going to do at the battle there? Who's going to win, the devil or Christ?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ will win.
After the millennium, then Satan's going to be loose.
No, that's right. At the end of the millennium.
And then he's going to start all over again?
No, he's going to start war in Jerusalem just like he did the Battle of Armageddon. Before the tribulation, before the 1,000 years. He's going to do it again. He's going to try again. What is that saying? No, that's one thing, but if you have the same things you did before, it didn't work then, what's going to happen? What is it saying? What is it saying? We have free will.
If you keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result,
it's
a definite good. That's what I was looking at. That's different insanity. I had to remember.
And he's right.
That's
what they say.
Don't do that. Now, when the devil is put down, then where is he to catch? He's in the bottom of the book, the lake of fire. Who's there with him?
The devil and his angels.
The devil's angels. The beast, the false prophet, the devil's angels. And notice, they were cast in. Where were the devil and his angels cast in? At the beginning of the millennium, they're cast in. And it says in the book of Revelation, Satan is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Now wait a minute, they're cast in 1,000 years before. Why are they still there? What does that mean? Are. They've kept on going. So you see, just because they're in the lake of fire, they're not going to be burned up. God's going to give them some sort of asbestos bodies that will stay instead of being in pain. They're not going to vanish away. So this is, how do we get on that?
All after peace.
All right, talk about peace. Okay. But he's the Prince of Peace. One day, 1,000 years, he'll reign. Now, do people on this earth believe there's going to be peace for 1,000 years on this earth?
No.
No, people don't definitely believe it. If you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe it's possible. Look at all the wars we've had. Look at all the wars we're still in. Look at all these battles. But if you believe God, now can God lie?
Yeah. No.
We can't lie. He's absolutely without lie. So if he says in his word, should we believe it?
Yeah.
We must believe it. And so the things that make for peace. And things whereof one may edify one another. What does edify mean?
Build up.
Build up. What does it come from? Edify. What's that?
That means
like an edifice. What is an edifice?
Oh, a building.
A building. So edify. The phi means make. Ed, make a building. So building up like a building. That's right. Is this very much work to build a building?
Yeah.
A lot of work. Is it easy to edify one another? How should we edify one another? Who's the one another? Saved or lost? Christian or non-Christian? Saved. Christian people. How are you going? Yeah, go ahead, John.
The Spirit of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Beginning of knowledge. Beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, both. That's right, absolutely. So, what is the basic educational standard that you use to edify one another?
The Word of God.
The Scripture. The Bible, well, change the Scripture, the actual foundation. But you need courage, that's right, courage. Now, when you edify one another, does the one another always like what you're saying?
No.
No. Why don't they like what you say?
Because it's not agreeable to them.
Not agreeable. Not agreeable, not what they say. Tammy? What's that, Anna?
Oh,
Anna, what'd you say?
Oh, I said they might be offended.
Okay, Tammy?
Because they're not ready to receive the Word of God.
That's right. Now, yeah, go ahead,
Bob. How do you know edifying someone? How do you know when you're supposed to start edifying? It's usually with their feelings.
Well, that's what I say. Does everybody like edification?
If they're ready to receive, I mean, how do you know when you should barge in and start edifying?
That's what Tammy said. Normally they don't receive. Yeah, Anna, then Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan first, go ahead. Age before beauty. Great, man.
Okay. Build an edifice. You have a foundation you start on. So
right.
Before you start edifying, you're making the edifice, you have to have an established foundation.
Yes.
And so you have to have a foundational relationship with somebody.
Right. That's good.
Before you come out of the time, you start. You can't put a 50th story on a building until you pull the foundation.
That's good.
The first story, one story, two.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get the superstructure built up first.
Right.
Foundation, superstructure, and you start adding everything else to it, and you start finishing the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, you're working on it.
That's good. Anna.
And then John. I wanted to say that sometimes that has to do with how you say something.
Yeah. Not what you say, but how you say it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, John.
I heard a quote this morning that really touched me. All growing things respond to care.
Mm-hmm.
Are benefited. All growing things are benefited by care.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we edify? Just care for somebody and they will be benefited and they will grow.
Mm-hmm.
If they want.
Yes. We go to a restaurant every Saturday that now has a garden. It has steaks in the garden with little cans of steaks. So I counted 15 rows and at least 10 rows rather than 15 of these steaks in each row. 150 different steaks. They planted those things and they're starting to grow now. They're little things, whether they're corn or what it is. You have to have tomatoes and various things. But you have to have a foundation, Dr. Dan says, before you can find it. It must be based upon the Scripture. Who is qualified to edify one another? What are your qualifications, or should be the qualifications? First of all, born again Christian. Let's say, Anthony.
You should know the subject that you're discussing.
All right, so the subject. And what subject should be the foundation of your edification? The Scriptures, the Bible. So it should be biblical truth. Now, do all people like to accept biblical truth?
No.
Should they accept biblical truth? And sure, if they're genuine Christians, if they're saved, they're genuine Christians, they should accept it. But why don't people accept biblical truth?
They're
not in agreement with their own thinking.
Not agree with their own thinking. They don't accept it. So, edify one another, build up one another. Now, let me ask you this. Are there not some people that want to be edified, want to be built up?
Yes.
And they're seeking people. Would you help me? There's some people that are all bogged down with everything. They want to be built up and encouraged. That's part of it. Building up is encouraging edifying. So we quote a verse every Sunday morning in our service in 2 Timothy 4. How does it go? preacher, the instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and
doctrine.
That exhort, see, that's part of edification and building up and encouraging. See, so we have to do that. Edify one another. And then in verse 20, for meat, destroy not the work of God. Now, what does the meat refer to in this context? I think we had it last week and the week before. It's the food. Now, what was the battle of the meat here? Do we have any?
When they really give the meat on the altar, whatever they're preaching to.
Like pork offered idols. So we thought it, that was the meat. Now, do we have any battle with meat with Wendy's today? No battle. I didn't get my meat for a while. In fact, they said they're going to cook it for 6 minutes. I'll bring it over for you. So I waited 6 minutes, six more minutes. I said, where is it? I said, honey, go get it yourself. So I went and got it, obedient to my husband, my wife, you know. Went to get it myself. And the colored lady who said, I'm going to bring it out to you, she said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot all about it. She promised she's going to bring it to me after 6 minutes because the chicken wasn't quite ready.
Yes,
so I sat there and drank water.
She's busy giving all our seniors the fingers so that we can
get it. Exactly right. Because you'd already had your finger. You'd be sitting in the throat going, really? Okay. Where were we?
19.
Quiet, meat now. As Anthony said, there was a battle with people that, 14, the battle was with the people that offered meat to idols. And some Christians said, if it's offered to idols, we shouldn't eat it. Others said, no, it doesn't bother me, I will eat it. So there's a battle between one and the other. And so for meat, destroy not the work of God. What does that mean?
For meat. Against the word of God.
Okay. All right. The meat shouldn't be a battle. Good timing.
You don't want to cause your brother to stumble.
Don't want your brother to stumble. Thank you.
We should be able to exercise Christian liberty.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And that some people aren't going to... They might want to eat the meat, and other people, they would be offended. They don't
right. So if you have some people who say, I eat the meat offered to idols, no problem. The other Christians say, I have a problem. What should the Christian do that is going to eat meat? What does the scripture say earlier in chapter 14?
Make peace.
Read it, disagree, maybe.
Don't eat it. Don't stumble. Don't your brother. Make your brother do a thing. That's right. You should. So that's a little bit hard on us, isn't it, sometimes? We want to do things.
You want to.
Right. So we sometimes have to change our ways if it makes our brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble and be offended. And that's not always easy. Now let me ask you this. If what we're doing is biblical, should we ever change biblical facts?
No.
Follow the Bible, see, regardless if people stumble or not. See, if we think the scriptures are very clear, don't commit adultery and don't lie and don't steal. I mean, people say, oh, it's all right. Wait a minute. Let them stumble. They're not, I don't know if Christians are going to agree with that. Maybe there's some Christians who do.
That's so,
that.
So then what they're saying is that if they were a Christian and they were still eating the meat, they were saying, I didn't sacrifice this. I'm not thinking there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
Right.
So they were free to eat. That's right. But the other one says, it hurts me.
Yeah.
So if there's a battle, the people just don't eat it. Go somewhere to a different grocery store. There's a different diner.
And don't judge that person.
Don't judge this sort of... It's hard sometimes to do that timing.
Well, the Apostle Paul is going to give an overview of his own life. I'm not sure that it's going to be in 10 or in the passage.
Mm-hmm.
But meat made with my brother to sin,
I'll eat all meat.
No longer as long as we are sin.
Well, the world sin, you're right. That's very good. So Paul was a very good actor and obedient in that.
He wanted to destroy the work of God.
Right. Now, what does it mean in verse 20? For me, because of the situation with me, destroy not the work of God. What work is he talking about here?
Peace.
Could be peace. What is he talking? Could be the church. What else? What is it? What's that, Bill? Well,
I said building up the church.
Building up the church, all right. What else might be the work of God?
Would it be that God made the calf that they sacrificed?
What could be the calf they sacrificed? What else could it be? What are born again, saved, true Christians called?
The church.
The church, and are they a work of God? And they're a work that God has made. He's made this. So it could refer, could it not, destroy not other Christians who are a work of God that are offended if you eat this sacrificial meat offered to idols. Destroy not. Then it says all things that are pure. What does that mean? things indeed are pure.
Does that refer to the fact that the Jews wouldn't eat things that weren't like kosher?
It could be not kosher, yes, sir. But as far as Christians are concerned, do we have kosher versus not kosher?
Mm-hmm.
Christian, we don't care. But, you know, sometimes it's good to follow those kosher rules.
Those kosher rules are good rules.
They're good rules. They certainly are, see. But we probably wouldn't be offended. Oh, what this one thing about kosher, what do they do particularly?
Drain
the blood. They take the blood out. What are the four things in the book of Acts, chapter 15, that the Council of Jerusalem said for the Christians today, don't do? What are they? Well, no fornication.
No blood.
No drinking, bleeding blood.
Nothing strangled.
Nothing strangled. What is the fourth one? Acts 15. The Jerusalem Council. Fornication. Being strangled.
Some idol.
Idolatry. See, those are the four things. And one of them is don't eat blood. And if it's not kosher, there's blood all over. Bloody meat, see. So kosher not all that bad, that's for sure. But these things here...
Aren't chickens killed by starting
them? I'm not sure how chickens are killed, are they? That could be.
They
should cut their heads off, do they?
They cut their heads off, did it every move down the line.
Yeah.
On your ears so long, that's good meat.
Well...
Yeah, good meat. You know...
No, it's chicken's fat. It's
fat.
Yeah, eat it.
Meat.
Bologna. In Germany?
And that's blood.
Yes.
So is that against the law?
Against the Christian faith. That's in Acts chapter 15.
And
four things.
You're not
supposed to eat blood. That's supposed to eat blood. What are four things again in Acts 15? No fornication. No thing sacrificed to idols.
No blood.
No blood.
Things strangled.
Those are things. So we're not supposed to eat those in the New Testament. You see, the Jews, what did they want to tell the Christians must do? What did they say they wanted to do, some of the Jews?
Put them back
under the law and have all circumcised. See, just make them Jews out of them, see? But the people said, no, just four things to bring over. That's it. All right, so what does it mean?
Wait a minute. What are you saying? Are you saying that what's written...
It
must fit equal, so are you saying that if it were a steak, you
know,
it has to put the clothes on?
No, that was...
What did you say?
That was
steak. No, but he just said New Testament.
New Testament, Acts chapter 15. That's right, Acts 15.
To eat it.
Edith. Yeah.
Because Edith was talking about how she's eating this German...
Right.
Blood bologna. So my question is you're saying that she can or cannot eat the bologna?
I shouldn't have
eaten. According to Acts 15, they were to do away with these four things. They don't have to keep all the law of Moses. The council decided that. The council decided don't keep all the law of Moses. But they had to keep four things. What are the four things again?
Fornication.
No fornication.
Meat sacrifice.
No sacrifice. Meat to idols. No idolatry.
Blood.
No blood.
And fornication.
No, and strangle things.
Acts
chapter 15.
So you're saying that this is the law that we should keep today.
Today, these are the things that we should keep out of the Old Testament. There's a lot of other things in the New Testament to keep. But these are the four things out of the Old Testament that are brought over. Laws, and then...
Okay, because the last time I was saying we're not under Mosaic.
We're not under Mosaic. That's true.
Okay.
But just these four things. If they're repeated in the New Testament, see, these are repeated in the New Testament book of Acts. Laws and then family.
It's how they go about killing animals.
Yes. That's why they do that. Drain the blood. That's right. That's right. So that's good. Yes, Tammy, and then Tom. Yes. All right, Tammy.
Well, they were having conflict with the Jews and the Gentile believers.
Mm-hmm.
And there were Judaizers that were coming in and saying that they had to keep the entire law. So this mm-hmm. was what they agreed on
right.
at that particular point in time.
Right.
But it wasn't for their salvation.
No, no.
I mean, they wouldn't lose their salvation.
Right.
This was an agreement that the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers made.
Right. We covered that in our Thursday Bible study. Thursday Bible study, we covered that 15 chapters. Bonnie, and then Jonathan.
Well, when I was a little girl.
You were once a little girl?
Yes, when I was in Grange, Ohio, a little country town, and the neighbors put a guard between our house and the children. And my mother said, oh, there's Mr. Silver killing the chicken. And he had it hanging from the, I thought it was a clothesline. And the chicken was dead, but it was moving. And some of them ran around him without heads. But I remember this, but I didn't look too much. But that's my chicken.
That's true.
Is that
Jonathan? Oh, good. Go ahead.
Were the chicken still as head as one? When you saw them running around?
Yes.
Okay, that's your time. Right. Jonathan and then Antoinette. Jonathan, go ahead.
It says, for me to destroy not the work of God. I just have a question. I don't have a, I'm not thinking of an answer, but how do we today, how might we put this in effect today? How might we today destroy the work of God by food or by what we eat or something involved with food? Some way that we could hurt.
Pastor Dan, go give an answer.
Well, some of it's food. There could be other things. Activities, the place where they might go, immediately in and of themselves, some would argue there's nothing wrong with it, but there's a certain association that perhaps we're not aware of, that someone else knows about, some of that was whatever it could be, If once we're informed about a certain activity, that in and of itself is not violation of scripture to do or participate in or go to, but perhaps for somebody else in the past, they had a definite problem. It was for them, if they were to go to that place, there's a strong possibility that they would be brought into sin.
Right.
So it's not necessarily just meat or food.
Right. And after that, then, Tammy.
I'm just confused. I've never heard this before, and I just really wanted my question answered. And I think what I heard you saying was, it is wrong for Edith to have this German sausage. Am I correct in my thinking?
Well, according to Acts 15, those four things, you're not supposed to just drink in the blood as such. A lot of people
she's
do it.
She's not drinking blood. She's eating meat.
No, but there's all kinds of
blood. It's cooked. And it's cooked.
But all kinds of blood is in there, though, right?
Yeah.
It's cooked blood, but it's still blood.
Yeah, but anything that we eat that's like, say, fish, or not fish, but like red meat, white meat, it's still meat.
Yes.
And it still has to be cooked.
Put it this way, Antoinette. I'm not going to stumble you if you want to eat red meat. I don't eat it. I like to keep it without the blood, but you can do what you want. Just like this thing here, for meat or for blood, don't stumble your people, see? But the scriptures were in Acts 15, it was very clear. Not all the things of the book, the law of Moses, don't put them under the law. Christians in this age of grace, there's four things. They decided, all of them agreed at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. No fornication, no things strangled, no blood. And no offering to idols, worshiping idols. So that's just with the fourth thing. But we're not under the law of Moses in any way, except it's repeated in the New Testament. And these four things are repeated in the New Testament, so we follow those things as much as possible. Yeah, Bill.
When I was a little kid, I used to go to the...
You were once a little kid, too, right?
Yes. Back in the 1950s, when I used to go to the stores, in the meat cases, you saw the hamburger, you saw the beef, and there were puddles of blood underneath it. There was a lot of blood involved there. Today, you don't see that in any of these stores. But if you go to the Amish stores, like out in Medford or Williamstown, you'll see it.
Hmm.
There's a lot of blood in your meats. There.
Interesting.
How they're killed.
Let's get back to the verse here. The question is, all things indeed are pure. What does that mean? Verse 20. All things indeed are pure.
Well, the Jewish people were about to eat pork. And then,
they are?
They weren't about to eat
pork. That's right.
And then when Peter was trying to trying to follow that.
Yes.
But then the Lord told them that.
That's right. For the Jews no longer have that particular diet. They're still running for us today.
All those old Jewish laws about food was because they didn't have refrigeration. Today with refrigeration, they go out the window.
All right.
That's how simple it is.
Yeah. Well, we're not under the Jewish laws of Leviticus 13 and 14.
Some Jewish people still don't eat.
Right. The Jews are under that law, but the Christian believers today under grace don't follow that. But we have to be wise in what we eat. Am I right?
We shouldn't eat too much. Number one.
Let me tell you some of the things that are clean. They're clean. What did John the Baptist eat on the wilderness?
Locusts
and wild honey. Just because locusts are clean in the Old Testament, you going to eat locusts?
No,
not me. Yeah, who's going to get a hand up? Is it Bill? Oh, well, here, Pastor Dan, go ahead.
Modern Jewish people, they choose to be, remain under the law because they've rejected the Messiah. That's their choice.
Yes.
They're not under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Law has been done away with this, however, but they've chosen to remain under the law.
Yeah.
And the law has been done away with.
Right.
The Calvary. It's their choice. It's a rebellious choice to think that they can do it themselves, with their own works.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill.
The Jews are cracking in their beliefs, though, because they're the ones that invented turkey ham and turkey bacon.
Jewish people that eat bacon.
Yeah.
But of course they're not going to follow. They follow the law, but in their religion, they love the Torah. They love the law.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, they go through that long Kippur and Kirtan. So they have their own way of, like, you know, atonement, if you will.
So
it's not that they don't recognize that they're not, they know that they sin.
I was reflecting that after listening to my husband and Pastor Dan about the crucial standards that certain churches that they used to have, it was for the very purpose of the leadership not causing those people within the church to stumble and fall. And, you know, they would go to movies, they wouldn't do this, they wouldn't do this.
Right.
It wasn't because it was a legalistic type of thing. It was to protect the weaker brothers. And those kind of things completely dropped.
Right. Not to forget, Jonathan.
Things indeed are pure.
Okay, we're back to the pure. No more of the eating, no more of the blood, back to pure. That's what I'm trying to get at. What does that mean?
By him, all things indeed are pure.
What does that mean?
Well, that means it's, in a sense, initially holy, initially good. Just things by themselves. God created all things. And by him, Colossians 1:17.
Mm-hmm.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Mm-hmm.
All, everything, us, we're all made, we're all held together by Jesus. Whether we acknowledge it, know it, and realize it or not, we're really always benefited by Jesus, by Christ. And so, by him holding us, everything, the whole world together, it's all pure to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't realize and acknowledge it.
Right. Now, Bill, and then Pastor Dan.
Even chocolate cupcakes.
Even chocolate cupcakes.
Yes. You can eat them now too.
You remember in the book of Philippians, it says what sort of things are this and this and this and this. Pure is one of those things. What are we to do with it? True.
Pure.
Honest. Good prayer. Good report. What are we supposed to do with those things? Think on those things. See, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, the things are pure. Pastor Dan, go ahead.
But I stole this verse contextually. It's talking about the meat.
The meat, that's right.
Because in the beginning of the verse talks about the meat, in the middle of the verse talks about pure, and the verse talks about eating.
Eating with offense, that's right.
I mean, not that this is applied to other things that
right.
it's pure, but the church are rooted in the saints. The genuinely born again believers in Rome, they're getting this prettiness, and they're saying,
to me. All meat's pure.
Uh-huh.
But you can't eat with a fence.
Right.
What I eat, or where I go, what I do, you know, it's going to be offensive to somebody, then you don't eat it.
Right. Questions at vfcbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment or questions. I'd hear from you. Notice it says, all things are forbidden. It is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So define that evil. Eating with offense. That's then touched on. What does that mean? Eating with offense.
Eating against it.
All right.
You're eating against it,
not eating. All right. If a person eats meat offered to idols and is offended by it, it's evil to him, so he doesn't want to do it, so he stays away. Then we got five.
Well, what talks about the beginning of the chapter, about him that if we can say, one believeth he may eat all things, another who eateth herbs, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God deceive him. And then later on it says something about verse 13, let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Yes, very good. So we got stumble people. We want to be very careful. So verse 20, it's evil if a man eats with offense. So try to help the brethren, not to offend them, is what I think it's getting at there. Any other comments on 18, 19, and 20? Well, let's move on. Let's read 21, 22, and 23 together. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Verse 20, good neither to eat flesh, or drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended of me. What does that verse mean? The last part of it is important, isn't it? Anything that maketh thy brother to stumble or be made weak.
And
so eating flesh, what kind of flesh are you talking about in this context? Offered to idols. Don't eat it. Don't do it if it's going to stumble the brother. What about drinking wine?
Same thing.
If it's going to stumble the brother, just lay off of it. Now, they may have had some wine that was offered to idols too. I don't know. It could be meat as well as the wine. So this could be it. So just lay off anything that would stumble. What's brother mean? Who's that referred to?
Christians.
Those are genuinely saved, true Christians, brothers. And then in verse 22, hast thou faith? What do you think that faith means?
Believe.
All right, what else?
Faith
what God will want you to do. That's right. Faith in the scriptures, faith in the Bible. Then it says, have it to thyself before God. Now, why is it saying that? If you have faith, have it to thyself before God.
Responsible
to God. All right.
If they don't want you to throw it in that other person's face.
Well, don't throw it in their face.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to talk to God about it.
Talk to God about it. That's right. That's Jonathan and then Anna.
I always got this as if you have faith, have it to yourself before God. Be at peace with God what you allow yourself to do. And reconcile those things with her. Jesus was very much of common sense. What made sense to do? Jesus did things on the Sabbath because it made sense to do them on the Sabbath. He and the disciples went through the field and put corn and ate it. He didn't say, oh no, you must not do that because of the law. Be at peace with God and work out with God what you allow yourself, and don't beat yourself up over all these little laws. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I had a friend who was Jewish, and And he wasn't really Jewish, but he was. He was trying to follow rabbinical teaching, even though he didn't really believe. Okay. And he was of the descendants of Judah, but he came home and he said, "Well, you can't do work on the Sabbath. Therefore, when you open the refrigerator and the light comes on, that's doing work. You got to take the light bulb off." So his father came home, opened, and said, "What happened? You know, I had to take it out for you." He said, "That's crazy. That's
crazy." I think when you have faith to thyself, if a person thinks he can eat, go ahead first.
Oh, well, I was just looking in Exodus 15.
All right.
And verse 29.
Acts 15, 29.
This is from when they wrote the letter.
All right.
It says, also in verse 28, that for it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well.
All right.
So I was just trying to understand how that kind of passage, because the list includes meats offered to idols, so this passage is discussing that, and what anyway.
The verse I was referring to is just the pollution of idols, so it wasn't exactly clear. Which that clarifies that it was actually meat offered to idols, which is exactly
says that in 15?
What's going on.
Meat offered idols. Meat offered idols.
Yeah. Yep.
So now, as I understand this, their faith. In other words, some person says, "I can offer or eat meat that's offered to idols." That's what your faith has to yourself. Don't try to push that on others. But those people say, "I can't eat meat offered to idols." See, but it's a personal faith. That's the thing. Keep it to yourself. Whatever on this meat situation. That's the situation. But then, what does this mean? Happy is he that condemneth not himself the thing which he alloweth. What does it mean, condemneth himself? Be guilty of something. Be judged something. All right? Happy is man that condemneth not himself.
Yeah, because maybe you think something's okay, and then somebody will come along and say, "Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian," you know, and it's like the timing of it and your emotions at the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not like, if you kind of feel a little bit insecure at that moment, you're going to like think about that, and then you're going to like feel guilty, even though you knew, "Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with whatever it is." You know what I'm saying? But if somebody comes along and like points a finger or judges, and say, "Oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. You're a Christian." You know, sometimes it can throw you off a little.
You got to be careful what we do, lest we be condemned of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. So then we condemn ourselves.
Right.
Why did I do it? What was I thinking? I was a horrible witness. How is that, you know, going to help somebody?
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. And then look.
Fornication. We just can't go on.
Oh, no. Who's saying that?
Well, it's in the list. I know, but it's the same thing we're supposed to avoid.
Yes. Okay. All right, Lois and then Tammy. Lois, go ahead. Okay. Right.
And
when you do it, it's not how close can we get to the world and still be a Christian. No, it's how far can we, you know, how close can we get to Christ and to His standard? The standard is the world. So we don't want to get right next to the edge and try to see how far, how close we can get before we fall off.
Yes.
We do also have freedom in Christ.
Yes.
In other words, we do have freedom in Christ. You can drink a glass of wine. It's not going to be your damnation.
Well, the scriptures are very clear about Napal. The scriptures are very clear on the word Napal or Napalius. Totally abstain from alcoholic things. And that's in scripture. Seven times it talks to old people, younger people, aggressive people.
But
the scriptures are very clear. Christians should have nothing to do with alcoholic beverages. That's what's in the scripture. Napal, Napalius. Two Greek words. But Pastor Dan, go ahead. Oh, she said you can drink a little wine, she said. I'm trying to answer that. The Bible says no.
Just one hour, guy, like I said, it's all windy back there. I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
And verse 28, getting back to what Anna was trying to make, the point that there must have been some transitional principles that were being used in the book of Acts. Once you got into once you had the transition period end, then that's when meat was okay to eat offered as arthritis. In Acts chapter 15, it says don't eat meat, but in 1 Corinthians, in Romans, it seems like it's a matter of the liberty of the Christian whether they can eat meat or not. It's a way, the way to understand the scripture without looking at it as a contradiction. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just starting to see Anna brought this verse up and having mentioned as far as it's very clear in the book of Acts during the transitional period of time before the book of Acts ended, before the time period in the book of Acts ended, this transitional time period, it's been very clear if they're staying from weeks, off idols. But once that transitional time period ceased, then that is when it became an issue of Christian liberty. For whatever reason, I'm not really sure of that, but it became a matter of Christian liberty. They were coming from the Old Testament law, and they were transitioning from the law into the time of grace. And so during that time of transition, they must be through a clear line to abstain from the off idols.
In Acts chapter 15, the approximate date is AD 52. In Romans chapter 14, the approximate date is AD 60. So 8 years earlier was Acts. Now this is a later situation, and this is more established, isn't it? So what was that?
I'm not sure if the witness to this. Acts 15 is Paul was the Peter in the first part of Acts.
James is the one that's together at the council.
It's got to be something to do with the transitional time period.
Yes, transition. Do you have
one? Well, none of us, I think, are eating meat off the idols.
No, that's right.
And then pollution of idols. The only thing that people are doing all the time is fornication.
No, they do it all the time. No, but people all the time. In schools, in elementary schools, in high schools, in colleges, and on the street, Christian people, churches, Christian schools, they're doing it. Fornication, wickedness, and sin. Yes, Dan.
The idols, you know, the scriptures about idols, nothing, and so forth and so on, it's not necessarily the same, it's not your classical, denotative definition of idol. I mean, it can be, but it's not limited to a denotation definition of idol. In other words, we look up in the dictionary, what is an idol? An idol is this image made of a brass, stone, wood, or stone, or I guess it said stone, brass, wood, or gold. This is what an idol is. And so, see, Don, this is what an idol is. And so, the idea of having an idol in a denotative sense is one thing. Arguably, we don't have much parts of the country, we don't have those. But we have a connotative sense of an idol. And as far as we have the God of this world, there's all sorts of things that are taking the place of God.
Yeah.
So that's the idea of an idol sometimes.
All right, thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. Jacob from Texas.
The application. Right.
Yes, Pastor, what year was 1 Timothy written? Do you know that?
First Timothy?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. It's just the idea at all.
I'm looking here at verse 3 of chapter 4. Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe in them.
That's right. In other words, that's changing it, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I think what Pastor Dan said about the transitional period, that time in Acts.
Transitional period, that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wave to Jacob in Texas. Jacob Stroman, okay.
What's the chapter and verse I heard?
Well,
four,
yeah.
Verse 3.
They asked when was Timothy written, approximately AD 65. I couldn't put my hand on the phone and look it up. So, 65 up. Yes, Dan, go ahead, Dan.
Well, it's interesting, it's really
tough,
because I showed this to someone recently, but it's towards the latter time, so it's like at the end, there's some
depart from the faith, so it's like more toward where we are now. You know, that you know, they're commanding that people stand for me. Exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm.
With the Amorite people. Yes. So, what does it mean to which he allow it? What does allow mean?
To see,
permit. You don't condemn.
Permits?
You permit. You don't
condemn.
What's going on in front of you?
All right. So happiest man than ten. Then verse 23. He that doubteth, what does doubt mean?
Doubts about what you're going to do.
Question. All right. There's a question about it. If you doubt what you're doing, what's true? You're damned if you eat. What does damned mean?
Condemned
and judged. Absolutely. Condemned and judged. But you get different types of condemnation. Some is eternal judgment, but this is condemning or judging. And if he's, in other words, what does it mean? Give me an illustration of somebody that doubts something and he still eats it. Pastor Dan?
The point is, if somebody was unsure, second-guessing themselves in the context of the born-again, genuinely born-again, say, believers that were in the true, genuine church in Rome, then if they had a question, if they had a doubt about whether they should eat this meat or not, they were second-guessing themselves, so well, one of us should eat this or not. If they eat with, if they have a weak kind, if they eat it, and they doubt whether or not, so it's, they can't eat in faith, then it's sin for them.
It's sin for them, very clear, isn't it? Bill.
Yeah, regardless of when the scripture was written, whether it's a transitional period or if it's later than the transitional period, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, so therefore all of it is law for us. Anyway, so therefore, I guess it's one of those things where we have to study it a little more and possibly look a little deeper into the New Testament.
It's not written all to us, but all for us. Certainly it's for our admonition.
The Old Testament. I mean the New Testament.
Yeah, New Testament. But if we believe in the dispensational picture of the thing, there's a transitional time, and we have to be sure that we're not using something that was true. For instance, the Lord Jesus' day, that's New Testament, but that's, we don't accept it for today because it's not under grace, it's under, he offered the kingdom, they rejected the kingdom, so all these different rules, Matthew chapter 5, for example, different things, got to be very careful. That's why we have to have a dispensational understanding of the books of the Bible. Lois had something. Did you have something?
Yeah.
So scriptures that say things like take a little wine for the stomach's sake, scriptures that talk about Christ's first miracle was changing the water to wine at a wedding feast, and scriptures that talk about how the Pharisees told Jesus, well, God, you know, this man, why do you want to be around this man? His friends are wine drinkers. So my question is this. If a Christian drinks wine or doesn't drink wine, isn't that under the category of what we're talking about right now?
Well,
you're saying that no Christian should ever have alcohol. So what I'm saying is, how do you say that with those other scriptures in this?
Well, for instance, the water into wine was grape juice. It wasn't alcoholic beverage. That's the first thing. No, that's true. It's pure grape juice.
Wine is wine. It says the word wine. Wait a minute.
If I'm going to
buy a bottle of wine, I'm going to walk into
the scripture. The scripture is not wine. It's oinos. Oinos can be either fermented or non-fermented. Old Testament, New Testament. And if it's non-fermented, that's grape juice. There's no problem with that great.
Just a minute.
You asked a question. Wait a minute. You asked a question. I want to ask you. What it said in a little line for that stomach ache, the stomach was filled with wicked stuff and poison. He was drinking this water. So take a little bit of this type of grape juice or some other thing for the stomach's sake, because of your stomach's sake, which is unfermented, and if it's not fermented, and so these things are certainly the thing we've got to wear. What I was saying is, seven different places in Scripture it used the word napho or nephalios. You look up the Greek word napho or nephalios, it means abstaining from any alcoholic content. So Christians, whether pastors or deacons or old people or young people, in the New Testament we have seven different verses. If you want to see them, I'll show them to you. Where napho is used. Therefore, knock out alcohol. Now sometimes people have prescription that alcohol, but this is a recreational situation. So we've got to be careful. You have Dan and Pastor Dan and then Ken.
Well, Anderson, you look at the definition of what the word, English word wine meant.
All right.
In the time our Bible was translated.
All right.
Why did King James...